It's Kevin McCullough on AM 970, The Answer.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio. Breaking news as it happens, what it means, and why it matters.
Kevin McCullough, and here we go.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Obliterating confusion.
Amplifying truth.
And pursuing clarity.
Kevin McCullough, now.
Well, New York survived the blackout. The nation survived Donald Trump's weekend tweet. But will we survive the Kavanaugh confirmation? What's the big detriment to our country or benefit from having gone through that process? In studio, an exclusive, Molly Hemingway and Kerry Severino, right now on Kevin McCullough Radio.
Kevin McCullough.
Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
He is playing the role
as well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
What you want to do is destroy this guy's life, hold this seat open, and hope you win in 2020. You've said that.
That was impassioned Lindsey Graham from the Senate Judiciary Committee hearings at the Kavanaugh confirmation, which took place, it seems like, a long time ago. But it actually wasn't that long ago. And it is the subject of a brand new book, the hottest book in America as we sit and have this conversation right now. Number one on Amazon, Justice on Trial, the Kavanaugh Confirmation, and the Future of the Supreme Court. Molly Hemingway, Kerry Severino, Regnery Publishing, our sister organization. I always want to strongly recommend what they are doing. But ladies, it is such an honor to have you in studio with us. Thank you for being here. And Molly, I'm just going to fan geek for a second here, because your work all through the Russia investigation, there were three people I told my listeners every day, if you want to know what's going on with Russia, you read three people, and these are the only three people you need to read. Byron York at The Examiner, Kim Strassel at The Journal, and Molly Hemingway at The Federalist. And I don't know how the three of you got all the scoops that you had, and I don't know who all your sources were, but the way you were ahead of the curve on every single thing at every stage of that story was just, it was a public service to the nation. I just wanted to say thanks.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And it was one of those things where reporters should have been able to tell that there were problems with this conspiracy theory that was out there, and but I'm glad that a few of us were able to stand up against
it. You actually helped, I think, talk radio do something that we kind of excel at, and that is tell the other side of the story, but do it in a way that was really powerful. And Kerry, similar congratulations to your organization for the duration of the Kavanaugh trial, because I know that we had you on at least a couple of times, and some of your colleagues, but you were fact-checking all the details of the story, and I'm sure a lot of that went into the new book. But I'm in the shadows of greatness today. This is just so cool to have both of you here. Let's talk about how the book came about. Whose idea was it? Where did it come from? Did you guys just have coffee one day and say, man, we know a lot about this. We should put it all down on paper.
This is one of the most important things that happened to the country last year, right? As our title indicates, it wasn't just Kavanaugh on trial. It was really justice on trial, the whole notion of due process. And Molly and I felt like we would be the perfect team to tell that story. I worked for Justice Thomas. We've seen this playbook before, where they try to make these allegations against someone, and then later on, it's not over just because he's on the court. They go back, and it's revisionist history time and again, and they've done that with Justice Thomas. We went from 2-1 Americans believing him over Hill to flipping that, and I think that we didn't want them to do that with Kavanaugh. We thought the best way would be to tell the real story. So you've got an excellent investigative journalist over here. You've got someone who knows the Supreme Court, and it's turned out to be a great team for really getting those facts out there, because that's what's going to help prevent it happening again.
And it was important not just to go through the confirmation, but to make sure that the facts got out afterwards. We
right.
knew that there were liberal activist reporters who were preparing books to kind of re-go through these issues without telling the facts. We had access to all the key players, and we knew that they had really interesting stories to tell, and so we just decided to go for it.
And we thought we knew a lot going in. Boy, did we learn some amazing stuff. I mean, we were living this, but we learned so much more in the process of talking to this 100 and more people, the Supreme Court justices, senators, the president, you know, all these people in the White House. It was amazing.
That's what I've picked up on in just the limited amount of media you've done since the book has come out. I'm guessing that all that behind-the-scenes access also has revealed some things about where we stand since the hearing. And I want to come back to, like, the process of the book. But I think for the listeners, like, most newsworthy kind of interest, there were a number of things that coming out of the hearing, Lindsey Graham becoming the head of the Judiciary Committee, promising to use his investigatory powers in a more complete way. What's been the progress of the wrongdoers in the Kavanaugh confirmation since that time?
Well, it is very important that you not let people make false allegations without holding them accountable. And the previous chairman of the Judiciary Committee, Charles Grassley from Iowa, who is such a stalwart when it comes to victims and whistleblowers, he knows it's important to not make false accusations. So he actually did a criminal referral for several of the people who Right. made false accusations, including Michael Avenatti and Julie Swetnick, who had made the outrageous
and
gang rape.
Going up the creek for a bunch of things.
He's got bigger issues than this. Take a number.
But one of the things that is so troubling is that a lot of these allegations were vague. You know, there was no specificity. It is very hard to defend yourself against a vague allegation, but it's also hard to prosecute someone for making a false claim when it's a vague allegation, which is why we, you know, it's one of the things that's helpful about having a book-length thing, and we go through it in Justice on Trial, the coordination between the different leftist groups and how they worked with senators and how they paid protesters to kind of create this circus climate and all the different interesting connections between the people who are involved. There are processes that we have in this country for how to make allegations and how to litigate those, and the Senate has processes that were developed after Clarence Thomas's after his ordeal. And Senator Dianne Feinstein rather noticeably avoided those processes, even though they are, you know, all agreed upon. Instead of talking to the FBI or going through the normal Senate procedure, she called a Democratic activist attorney. And they put together, you know, a PR
a game
campaign.
Plan. Yeah.
That's not how you normally handle something if you actually care about victims. Mm-hmm.
Carrie, let me ask you this. There was much debate during the actual hearings, and those two or three days seemed to just go on forever. It seemed like weeks of television time.
Yep.
But one of the things that was kind of written as a narrative in some of the mainstream media was that Blasey Ford was totally believable and that women across the country believed her. Now, I knew something different in my own household. My bride, who is 10 years younger than me and 10 times smarter than me, looked at her in a matter of seconds and said, I don't know. That's just, you know, it's just not connecting. In your research for the book, did you find any examples of how women may have departed from what the national narrative was in terms of coming to Blasey Ford's side?
Sure. Yeah, and one of the most exciting ones to learn about was Melania Trump, who told her husband and said, you know that woman's lying, right? I mean, she had that instinct and just said, and it's interesting because you're right, it's millions of women across the country who had that reaction and were just saying, you know, this doesn't add up. And it's another area where Rachel Mitchell, I don't think, got a lot of credit for the work that she did. She was the one who was the prosecutor from Arizona who was hired to do that questioning. And it was really interesting when you look at the facts she was able to uncover. She wasn't a bulldog who was jumping down her throat, but she uncovered a lot of really significant things there. For example, Blasey Ford had been trying to put off that hearing by saying her lawyers are saying, well, she's afraid to fly. She can't get out of from California, like she's going to walk or something. It turns out, you know, she just would ask her one question after another. How'd you get here? Oh, well, I flew. You know, so you do fly? Well, sometimes I have to. I didn't want to have to do it. Oh, do you fly for work? Yeah. You know, and she kind of, and then it comes out eventually, well, actually, she's an avid surf tourists. So she's been to, you know, Tahiti,
Hawaii,
New
the
Zealand,
Philippines,
places you don't have, there's no train there.
Right.
There's no highway there. She has flown all the time. So it's things like that where you start picking apart and going, now, wait a minute, you're lying to us about other things here. What's going on here?
So will the historical consensus be that the independent prosecutor that the Republicans hired was a stroke of genius, Molly?
Well, you know, this is one of the things that was most interesting for us. And we did speak with Rachel Mitchell. She's this really just a very responsible woman who has a real life in Arizona teaching people how to question victims of sexual abuse. She cares about
which
her
is
work.
A sensitive thing. I mean,
very
you can't
sensitive.
Just
she's considered the nation's best. And she teaches people how to do this and teaches people because you're frequently dealing with child victims and whatnot. And so she cares about her work. She cares about being proper. She cares about putting the best construction on things. And I think a lot of people in D.C., they wanted someone to just go for the jugular. She has to go back to her normal job and be well respected. And she did actually, if you were paying attention, she did such a good job. And it ended up being a really important thing for the senators themselves. When she makes the case to them about how she would handle this, you know, she is a prosecutor, she said, there's not even enough here for a search warrant. There's certainly not enough here for a conviction. And that was very helpful for a lot of senators who weren't sure how seriously to take these things. They end up, she did such solid work and such a solid report, the senators actually gave her a standing ovation in their private meeting.
Well-deserved, for sure, Molly Hemingway. And she is just one of the two guests in studio with me live. Molly Hemingway, Carrie Severino. It is the number one book in all of America, Justice on Trial, The Kavanaugh Confirmation and the Future of the Supreme Court. Now, some may be listening today and saying, but does it matter for 2020? We will delve into that and many other aspects of what the Kavanaugh trial, confirmation, actually, not a trial, it was justice on trial, but what the Kavanaugh confirmation meant big time to the country's future. When we continue, Kevin McCullough Radio.
Hi, it's Bagels and Broadway with me, Valerie Smaldone, Saturday mornings at 9. I'll be talking theater, food, nightlife, day life, restaurants, and new food products. Theater, food, wine, what else do you need? AM 970.
The minute you sync your phone to your car, all your personal data is copied to that hard drive. ClearMyData.com will remove all of it, making it untraceable by the next driver or owner. Call 833-CAR-WIPE now or visit ClearMyData.com and get rid of your data before you get rid of that car.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Did you know that back in 2010, there was a law passed in the United States that gives authority to a newly created entity within the Federal Reserve to be able to seize portions of your electronic accounts, whether it's 401k, IRA, or your bank accounts? As scary as that sounds, you may be saying, well, why is it? Well, it's happened already in eight other countries in the last 7 years. What we're talking about is something called a bail-in. Get the facts by getting the white paper titled The Coming Bail-In, and see how all of this was set up to help manage our out-of-control national debt. Learn how to protect your future and your hard-earned money by investing those funds into diverse precious metals options. So when the bail-in happens, that you'll have that peace of mind. Call Landmark today. 844-604-2575. 844-604-2575. You can also visit them online at landmarkgold.com. That's 844-604-2575. 844-604-2575. 2575.
The backyard's looking great, Rob.
Thanks, man. I was planning on adding a deck, too. Know any good contractors?
Why don't you just ask HomeAdvisor?
Home what?
HomeAdvisor.com. You just tell them about your project and they match you with local pros that can do the job.
Nice. Now, how much does it cost?
Oh, HomeAdvisor's totally free to use. Plus, you can read customer reviews, check pricing, and book appointments for free.
What's the website again?
HomeAdvisor.com. Or just download the free HomeAdvisor app. HomeAdvisor.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-472-3961. That's 800-472-3961. 800-472-3961. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
AM 970, The Answer.
Breaking news as it happens. You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio.
Justice on Trial is the name of the book, The Kavanaugh Confirmation and the Future of the Supreme Court. Molly Hemingway and Carrie Severino are my special guests. Ladies, we remember one other personality rather largely in this whole debacle, and that was Jeff Flake. How does history look at him, treat him, deal with him now?
Yeah, out of all the fun stories we learned, the story of what was going on, remember that day when he kind of went from going saying, I'm going to vote for Kavanaugh, to going off out of the Judiciary Committee hearing into this back room and then coming out and saying, nope, I'm not going to vote until the FBI has an investigation. Now, on one hand, actually, ironically, at the time, everyone was frustrated with that. I think, actually, it ended up only helping Kavanaugh, because what the investigation turned up is not just there is no additional evidence here, but actually a lot of things that raised questions in the senators' minds of this looks even less plausible.
Including witness tampering.
Witness tampering. But we talked to so many people who were in that room, and boy, it was dozens of people in this small room off of the Senate. It was such a circus-like atmosphere. You had Senator Coons, who was the main Democrat, trying to lobby him. Senator Flake shoved into, these are both tall men, shoved into a small phone booth. Everyone else trying to lobby Flake, trying to fit themselves into this phone booth. People are shouting, senators yelling at each other, almost coming to blows. This is so out of the norm of what happens in the Senate. And some other senators really being frustrated because they felt like there were instances where Senate staff was undermining their own senators' interests. So the politics going on in that back room were just crazy. It just is in a microcosm of this whole circus-like process.
So was the final determination in your investigation that this was entirely a foreplanned attempted takedown? I mean, starting with Feinstein and her staff and kind of organizing, and then you had the other stories that kind of came in and tried to lob on top of that, but none of them were successful. But was it something that kind of organically developed and then fell apart? Or was this from the beginning a missile
We have our own thoughts, and I think people will read it and develop their own thoughts about how coordinated this is. But there's no question that there was coordination from the very beginning, before Kavanaugh is even named.
Who paid for the lie detector test?
Right. Well,
did we ever get an answer to that?
It does seem interesting that there were things that were happening even from the get-go. The radical pro-abortion groups start trying to paint him as a frat boy, and they start highlighting his laughter or something like
back
that,
in
which
July,
is the thing that comes
before.
Out when you even have the first story coming out in the Washington Post. You could see that if it weren't a well-developed, coordinated public relations plan, it had all the markings of one. And like you point out, instead of going to the FBI, instead of going through the normal Senate procedure, they bring on this well-known Democratic PR firm type attorney, and she pays for a polygraph. That's just not normal behavior. If you wanted to keep something secret, your first call wouldn't be to the Washington Post.
Right.
If you wanted to keep something secret, you wouldn't break the news in the Washington Post. You would tell the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Or the FBI, whose job is to do these things confidentially. That's
right.
That's not what they did.
Yeah, so it was something that certainly a lot of Republican senators, both on that committee and just people whose votes were needed, felt that it was complete political gamesmanship, and that's why they didn't take it as the same way that so many people in the media did, who had no questions, even though they should have had a lot of questions. I mean, we learned from our reporting that Christine Blasey Ford was well known in the D.C. community. She had a very different reputation than what the Washington Post put out there in their hagiographies. Her friends, who actually like her, say that she was a heavy drinker who was very aggressive with boys, much more aggressive than they were. That didn't come out, even though the media knew this. And we also have evidence that they knew some quite more salacious stories that they, hid and covered up, the exact opposite of how they were being. And so how they were being with Kavanaugh, that level of coordination between the media, Democratic partisans, these big, high-powered PR firms and law firms, and even that they paid for protesters to come out, which they admitted. And we have in our, we have the evidence.
Were those the people that were kicked out of the hearing on consecutive days?
They were brought in and they also
They were
had
trained
their...
in how to get kicked out and how to get arrested because that was their goal. They were paid, their bail was paid for, their flights were paid for, their legal training was paid for. It was a real organization.
Okay, so this is a compelling, not only reason to get the book, Justice on Trial, the Kavanaugh confirmation and the future of the Supreme Court. Hemingway and Severino are the authors. But I want to kind of draw some practical application to right now. Will this confirmation play a role in 2020? How does it play with women? I think in particular, and I tend to be, I'm a dad, three kids. My daughter is my youngest. I am a very sensitive, ape when it comes to this stuff. I sat there and watched Judge Kavanaugh have to fight back the tears to get his opening statement out. And even more heartbreaking to me than that was to watch Mrs. Kavanaugh sit behind him within camera view and to see what it was doing to her. And it just just ripped my heart out. And I'm thinking, how can the nation do this to these people who, by whatever he was like in high school or college, by the time he hit the circuit as a judge, his reputation from that point on was spotless. So I have a hard time believing that. I mean, maybe you've got rebellious youth issues, whatever, but he wasn't a rapist. He wasn't what they were calling him. And his daughters were witnessing this. His wife is witnessing this. How does that impact what women saw, how they think and where their minds are going to be, if at all, in the 2020 question?
Well, we know from just looking at 2016 how important the courts were. You know, a quarter of Americans said that was a quarter of Trump voters said that's why they did this. A fifth of Americans said that was the number one reason they went to the polls. So I think it's only increasing the awareness of people of the significance of this issue. And I think the biggest concern I have, you know, as you point out, you've got this family who's going through this. Ashley Kavanaugh, we learned, and tell the story of how she didn't even want her husband to get this nomination in the first place, yeah, because they had already been through two very controversial confirmation processes from his previous appointment. So she's praying literally, please, like, let this cut pass. I do not want him to have to go through this again. And then has to be this pillar of strength for her own family going through the process. If this is what happened last time, who's going to want to take another job like this? What is this going to say for the next men and women who we want our most qualified people to be our public servants on the court? I think that's a real concern. That's why we wrote Justice on Trial. We want to make sure America knows what happened so we can be aware and not allow it to happen again.
One. Carrie Severino, we appreciate that insight. And Molly, when we come back from the next break, I want to ask you, because you've got some stuff you want to follow up on regarding media and the believability of women and men in the scenario. But friends, the book is called Justice on Trial, The Kavanaugh Confirmation and the Future of the Supreme Court. Molly Hemingway, Carrie Severino. It is the number one book in America as we sit and speak. Thank you for those of you that have already gotten it. Thank you for those of you that are working your way through the 50 pages of endnotes at the end of the book. 50 pages, about 40 endnotes per chapter. It is well documented, very well done. And when we come back, a final bit of time that we've got with Molly and Carrie, two number one authors in America right now, only on Kevin McCullough Radio. Hi, friends. If you're feeling run down and maybe you're kind of just during the summer, I know how it feels. But friends, if you're not getting the fruits and vegetables that you need, that's part of the reason. Did you know that when fruits and vegetables, specifically in combinations with each other, specifically with 31 specific fruits and vegetables working with each other, when they take root in your body, they explode with energy that is actually the capturing of light that is then released within your system. And it is an amazing thing to watch what happens. But if you're not eating those fruits and vegetables, that captured energy never becomes a part of your reality. And that's why Dr. Douglas Howard introduced Balance of Nature these many years ago. They're not like ordinary vitamins. They're just fruits and vegetables in vegetarian capsules, 100% whole food plants, fruits, veggies. It's all there. And an average daily dose gives you 10 servings of the 31 specific fruits and veggies that your body most needs. Once you start taking them, you're going to be convinced. In fact, I had this like little sniffer trying to come on a couple of weeks ago. I upped my dosage. I got over it in one day. My lovely bride, a couple days later, started getting the sniffs, allergies and so forth. She didn't take them. She's still fighting it now. That's the problem. See, I take them. So this is how I stay healthy. For a limited time, get 25% plus free shipping off your first preferred purchase of Balance of Nature and get a set of convenient travel bottles containing a free week's supply included. 800-246-8751 to get that now. 800-246-8751. Or go to balanceofnature.com and use my discount code, The Answer. Hi, Kevin McCullough. Imagine you're relaxing on the sky deck of a beautiful yacht as it cruises through New York Harbor. The iconic skyline creates a picturesque backdrop as you sip a delicious summer cocktail, finding refuge from traffic that plagues the tri-state area. Sounds too good to be true? All this can be yours on board the Atlantis luxury private yacht. Fully insured and Coast Guard certified, this family-owned and operated three-deck mega yacht is the ultimate venue for your wedding, anniversary party, birthday, corporate event, bar bat mitzvah, you name it. Captain Fred and the Atlantis crew will make every event there unforgettable. The Atlantis is impeccably designed with two state-of-the-art bars, a private bridal changing suite, immaculate restrooms, a fountain up top, and a magnificent dining room with a large dance floor. Food and service are excellent. the guests can board at several locations throughout the tri-state area. So call Captain Fred, my friend, at 212-633-1231. Schedule a private viewing of the Atlantis. Call 212-633-1231. That's 212-633-1231. Or visit NewYorkCruises.com.
Our hosts all look like GQ models. See them now at AM970TheAnswer.com.
Decision 2020. America at the crossroads. Freedom versus socialism. American values versus global elitism. The presidential election that will define our nation for decades to come. Exclusive coverage now on Kevin McCullough Radio.
What you want to do is destroy this guy's life, hold this seat open, and hope you win in 2020. You said that.
That was, of course, Senator Lindsey Graham. Some started to coin him Lindsey Graham 2.0 at that point, condemning the unsubstantiated attacks on Judge Kavanaugh's character. There's a picture in the middle of Justice on Trial that captured Lindsey in that moment and the fire that burns within him, I think a lot of American people felt. My guests wrote this morning in the Wall Street Journal, the media's malpractice, no doubt, has contributed to a general climate of distrust, but no one was fired or humiliated for throwing out journalistic standards. Instead, journalists gave each other awards for their one-sided coverage. We were just talking with Molly Hemingway and Carrie Severino in the last segment. And Carrie, you got the last word, but Molly, you wanted to weigh in on that.
It was one of those things, too, that really was frustrating to watch in the media coverage, where they would portray this as if women thought that allegations without evidence should always be believed, when in fact, many women, I mean, women are not a monolith, and many, if not most of us, love men. We're married to them. We have sons. We have fathers, uncles, brothers, and we care about them not being accused without evidence and having their lives destroyed. And it is something that I think people were surprised to find out that, you know, you mentioned that your wife had this feeling that she was lying. In general, we would talk to men and they would just take it very seriously. And the women we were talking to would say, well, we have problems with this story for this, that, or the other reason. And it is important because we care about sexual assault and because we care about violation of women that we have, that we keep our standards for how to handle allegations so that when women do have, when they are victims, that they are believed when they have the evidence to support it.
Well, isn't the solution to a lot of society's ills good men becoming better? Like, isn't the cultivating of better men in our society something that we want to, like, constantly champion and say, bring to the fore? And when you tear down someone who is innocent and is good, that is, I just think it's damaging on a lot of different levels that we're already having problems with in terms of fatherlessness, et cetera.
That reminds me of something. You were saying that maybe Brett Kavanaugh had a rebellious youth or whatnot. We interviewed quite a few people who knew him in high school, college, and whatnot. And he has already testified that he liked to drink. But his friends actually reported that he was the nicest man,
right,
the nicest young man. That they're, you know, he had a lot of female friends who loved being with him. And it was his treatment of women over the course of his life ended up being a godsend for him, because he had dozens of women who were willing to, at great sacrifice, because the media environment was so crazy at that time, get out there and publicly risk their own reputations and whatnot to defend him because of how he'd lived his
life.
Well,
on social
media,
it's
actually a testament to how he...
You had all those groups that came forward, you know, Women for Kavanaugh, et cetera. Last question. You got to talk to the president about all of this. How on God's green earth did he not touch Twitter over those 3 days?
I think at the beginning of the confirmation, he was much more restrained. But I think what was also interesting is when he did eventually come back on Twitter. And I think a lot of people agree that there was a moment where he started saying, you know, there are some issues with the way that she's brought these allegations out. Now, the way he talked about it may not be the style that a lot of people did, but I think it was a moment that he was really tapping into what a lot of Americans were thinking, which is, wait a minute, am I allowed to actually comment on all the obvious? It's like the elephant in the room. Everyone's going, there's red flags here. We're not talking about them. And he did.
Well, we interviewed the president, but we also interviewed a lot of other people in the White House. And one of the things that I thought was interesting to learn, and we did.
They were hiding his phone. No, they were just putting it under potted plants all over the place.
You have this view of the Twitter as just completely his, you know, id out there on display. But in fact, they do coordinate his Twitter messaging and they do talk about it. And so we had talked with people who were saying it was part of their strategy to hold off on Twitter. And then at some point, they themselves say, let it rip, like, let it go. This is getting ridiculous. And so it wasn't just that you had that initial vague allegation, but you're starting to get just the craziest claims,
right,
you know,
boats
in Delaware and, you know, a like a nationwide crime spree.
Some of those people are going to jail, right?
Well, they've been criminally referred, but our Department of Justice apparently has different priorities about what it's engaged in right now. But we do tell all these stories in Justice on Trial about how the White House was operating, what they were thinking, and when the president decides that enough is enough. And he doesn't just do that in that speech and on Twitter. I thought it was also really important that after the confirmation was over and he and Justice Kavanaugh is being sworn in the White House, he apologizes on behalf of America. Mm-hmm. And we learned that Justice Thomas was one of the loudest applauders at that line because he knew what this was like to go through in a way a few other people did.
Well, all we have to do is keep treating our public servants like this, and pretty soon you're not going to have anybody wanting to serve anymore. Mm-hmm. So, ladies, as you do in your daily reporting and activism, you have done the nation a service, and the grateful nation says thanks. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you so much.
Nope, thank you, ladies. Justice on Trial, the Kavanaugh confirmation, and the future of the Supreme Court. Molly Hemingway, Severino, number one in America on this Monday. Kevin McCullough, we've got a lot yet to get to. The markets are back and active, and your money is, is it in danger or not? There is a mixed opinion as to whether or not a recession is around the corner. David Fisher joins me next. It's a Money Monday. Plus, my final thoughts all before we're done. Kevin McCullough, it's Kevin McCullough Radio. Hi, Kevin McCullough. Have you ever had a legal question pertaining to elder law or estate law? Well, every Thursday during Kevin McCullough Radio, you hear from Mike Connors of Connors & Sullivan Attorneys at Law answering a listener's actual question. Simply email that question to askmikeconnors@gmail.com or call Mike's office at 718-238-6500. And don't forget to tune in to Ask the Lawyer with Mike Connors Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. on AM 570 The Mission and Sunday mornings on AM 970 The Answer at 11. Hey, Kevin McCullough, do you know what life can really be like, you know, when you have all three of the ankle biters out and they're eating hamburgers on a Saturday afternoon while mom's at the beauty parlor and you're trying to get them to behave and sit at lunch properly and they just touch everything under the sun and you're trying to get their hands clean? Well, sometimes that can be a little bit frustrating. But if you're like me and you've got pockets filled with Durasan hand sanitizers, instant little easy carry packages, you can make sure that their little grubby mitts are nice and sanitized for lunch, even on a busy Saturday afternoon. And that wait is over because now you've got safe, effective, alcohol-free hand wipes that not only help sanitize and clean and condition, but also protect the skin for up to 24 hours. Durasan makes their product in bottles, wipes, foamers, sprays that are all perfect for everyday use. They've got an antimicrobial hand soap that is FDA approved. We use it at the station. And Durasan has a long line of safe-to-use products like their mosquito spray for the summer. It's organic and it's completely safe, but it helps protect against things like Zika and other pathogens. So try them out today. Kevin McCullough listeners, you're going to get 20% off when you mention the show, Kevin McCullough Radio, or just Kevin McCullough. Call them now at 844-387-4726. That's 844-DURASAN, 844-387-4726, or 844-DURASAN, or simply go to www.durasan.com.
The minute you sync your phone to your car, all your personal data is copied to that hard drive. ClearMyData.com will remove all of it, making it untraceable by the next driver or owner. Call 833-CAR-WIPE now or visit ClearMyData.com and get rid of your data before you get rid of that car.
Gregory Floyd, host of Reaching Out, gets answers to the tough questions from people in the know.
With us, we have our very special guest, Queensborough President Melinda Katz. She is running for District Attorney of Queens. What are some of your goals after you become District Attorney of Queens?
We have a whole nationwide reform movement going on for the criminal justice system, but Queens has truly gotten left behind. I'm a true believer that you can have justice for victims, but you also need justice for defendants. You need a system in place where there's no cash bail. There are people that commit crimes of $1 million worthy of bail, and they're home that night for dinner. But if you're accused of doing a low-level crime, a lot of times you can't afford the bail. So we need to make sure that we'll make it a fairer and equitable system.
It's Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, Saturday nights at 7 on AM 970, The Answer.
We all have those home projects we'd like to get to, but there's always something that gets in the way. For a lot of people, they worry about overpaying for their home projects. And how can you be sure you're getting a fair price? Well, that's where Home Advisor can help. Home Advisor's True Cost Guide shows what others paid for similar projects, so you know you're getting a fair price. Home Advisor can even help you find the right pro for your job. Whether it's a leaky faucet or a major remodel, just tell them what you need and they'll match you up with top-rated pros who can do the job and are available to do the work. You can read customer reviews, request quotes, book appointments, and it's free to use. Home Advisor makes it easy, so don't wait. Get those projects done so you can relax this summer. Now, to find the right pro at a fair price, just ask Home Advisor. Go to homeadvisor.com or download the free app today. Remember, that's homeadvisor.com, homeadvisor.com, or download their free app.
Everywhere I go, oh, oh, I change it all, oh, oh, always on my own.
Your Money Matters CEO of Landmark Capital, David Fisher, exclusively on Your Money Monday at Kevin McCullough Radio.
Well, it is a Monday, and we take a check of what's going on economically speaking in the country every Monday because we do care that you are able to make the best decisions possible. Appreciated Molly and Carrie's insights on the political ramifications of what the election means. But, you know, our economic future is impacted by how we vote in the upcoming election as well. And so it's important that you be familiar and conversant with what's going on. And David Fisher, CEO and chairman and founder of Landmark Capital, welcome back. Always good to have you. I thought about you this last week, David, because I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday of last week. I did a hit on Newsmax and then Fox News. I think Newsmax was Tuesday, and was on the Liquid Lunch with John Tobacco broadcast. And he deals a lot with BitCurrency, and then he does politics and other stuff. But they had a guy that was favorable towards metals on just after my interview, and I stopped to watch it. And there was some debate getting back and forth. And finally, one of the hosts says to him, "Look, what do you know about whether or not this recession is or isn't going to happen?" And I thought the guy was quite adroit because he said, "You know what? I'm just a young analyst," and he is. He's probably, I don't know, in his late 20s. He said, "So my opinion doesn't really matter." But he said, "You know what the major banks are telling us across the country?" And I thought, man, if people have been listening to Money Monday for the last year, David Fisher's been telling them that every week. What are the banks doing? Watch what they're doing. Anyway, welcome back. Good to have you.
Yeah, the banks, the CFOs, the CEOs, they're shouting the same message. Recession is coming. There's no way to avoid it. So, I mean, that's where we're headed. But in the meantime, we're experiencing some incredible things happening in the market. So,
yeah, well, let's talk about that because Friday was a big day. And last Monday, you mentioned that you thought the Fed was going to make a certain decision. So bring us up to speed. How did it all work out?
Well, the Fed talked on Wednesday and Thursday. But we had a trifecta. We should have a huge fanfare celebration. The Dow, the Nasdaq, and the S&P 500 all hit all-time highs, historical highs. This was, you know, post-responsive move from the Fed meeting before Congress last week on Wednesday and Thursday. You know, something of interesting note, Kevin. Normally, the Fed releases their minutes before the speech, and that time almost always gets released at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time before the market is open. But this time, they released it at 8:30, an hour before the market opened. And the ironic thing of it, the pre-market movements jumped, spiked. Gold spiked, I mean, within minutes of the minutes being released. So this was an indication that we're going to have some big movement in the market, and we certainly did have that.
All right. So we're here mid-July. Stocks have had this like huge crush in the last week. They did really well on Friday. Will it continue? What does the roadmap look like?
Well, there's a few things that are that we need to look at. Earnings normally are the driving force behind a stock market increase, a movement upward. Unfortunately, we don't have strong earnings. I mean, they're pretty much flat across the board. Typically, you have to have some global upward movement, and we have global economy slowing. You have to have low interest rates, and we're moving into that. So this is all because, I don't want to say all, but a big influence has to do with the Fed. If the Fed took away what they laid on the table saying we're going to, you know, lower interest rates, and we might have one at the end of this month, maybe another one towards the fall and the latter part of the year, maybe a third one, this wouldn't be happening. But a key point is to keep in fact is that this is not a broad-based market. If you look at the Dow, the last 1,000 points that it's ran up in the last month, two stocks have contributed to 800 points of the 1,000-point movement. So it's not as broad as people might say. So you want to check your portfolio to see if you're taking advantage of this.
Well, and that does not speak well to the broad-based picture for the stock market, does it, David?
No, we're having some, you know, it's narrow. It's certain sectors. You know, so this tells us it's only the ones that are being influenced by what the Fed's actions are. So it's meet with your financial advisor, broker, and make some changes if necessary.
Well, it's funny because you've been saying all along the Fed is the key to all of it. Stock market seems to be proving you right. So let's talk stocks to gold for a second. How have stocks compared to gold? And you know, it seems like gold's had a really good year, even though the stocks have done well.
You know, since the Fed announced they've been talking about alluding this for about a month or so, you know, gold has been on a rampage. It broke through two major resistance and one psychological barrier. So gold is benefiting as much as stocks are from the Fed announcement. And if the Fed does what they're saying they're going to do, gold will be the knight in shining armor. A comparison, you know, because most people say gold hasn't done much. Well, let's pull the veil back. Let's look at a 20-year comparison, and I think people will be rather shocked. The Dow in the last 20 years has gone up 157%, the S&P 500, 229%, the NASDAQ, 188%. I don't want to minimize that. That's great.
No,
but
that's
gold
good gains.
Has gone up 453%, the number one asset class compared to stocks.
And it's all in the numbers, friends. That's just the amazing thing. So what's that? What's driving that?
Well, it's debt. We have a huge debt. And in fact, last week, Kevin, the Congressional Budget Office issued another startling warning, a report on the United States balloon debt structure. And they came up with three distinctive things. So they said the debt is currently completely unsustainable while we are having a booming economy. They also said that the debt ballooning will explode to 144% of the GDP. We're about 106 right now. Mm-hmm. They also said there might become a time, and here's the scary thing, that the world might not want to buy our debt, called Treasury. So this is something we've been talking about. Now our own government, Congressional Budget Office, is saying beware. That's why we're going to see higher prices in gold.
Yeah. Well, and we've already touched on this a little bit, but I want to come back. A recession, you know, your average analyst may or may not know and may or may not have good indication. But what you've said all along is look where the activity of the people that are the smart people and what they're doing, and they're buying gold at a higher rate than many years. And so, friends, if you are not prepared for the government to come in and take your money through a government bail-in, if that recession were to hit, you need to get prepared. You need to understand what the bail-in is, how the government can reach into your electronic accounts and just help themselves to some of your money and put an IOU in its place. They can't do that if you're holding physical gold, and David and company can show you how to do that. 844-604-2575, 844-604-2575. And David, that's right. That side-by-side comparison is quite instructive. Gold 400% up over the last 20 years. All the stocks at 200 or less percent. 844-604-2575. Kevin McCullough, coming right back.
For our Ask the Lawyer friends and listeners, you can attend any of Connors and Sullivan's free seminars on elder law, Medicaid, wills, and estate planning, and more.
Yes, it's all free and all close to you. So come to Connors and Sullivan's free seminars.
On Tuesday, July 30th at the Greenhouse Cafe, 7717 3rd Avenue in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, at 11 a.m., 3 p.m., and 7 p.m. On Wednesday, July 31st at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. at the New York Marriott at the Brooklyn Bridge, 333 Adams Street, downtown Brooklyn. And on Thursday, August 1st at Buckley's, 2926 Avenue S in Sheepshead Bay, Brooklyn, at 11 a.m., 3 p.m., and 7 p.m.
Can't go to any Connors and Sullivan's free seminars? Then call Connors and Sullivan at 718-238-6500 for your own free office appointment.
Make an educated decision on your estate and family legal solutions today. Call Connors and Sullivan at 718-238-6500 or go to connorsandsullivan.com. Plan now for later.
Balance of nature, changing the world one life at a time.
I don't know if you know what I'm saying, but all of a sudden it kicked in. I don't know how long it took it to kick in, but it kicked in. I feel it. I have more spring in the old step than I did before. Somebody told me, they said, boy, what is with you? You're getting too lively. I said, I just feel great, and I do, and it just hit me all of a sudden. So I am so happy with the product. It's fabulous.
Experience the difference for yourself. Receive 25% off your first preferred purchase of Balance of Nature. Plus, get a set of convenient travel bottles containing a free additional week's supply of Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies. You will still receive free shipping on every order. This is a limited offer and may end at any time. Call 800-2468-751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code The Answer.
Morning Bullets is asking for the public to respond to a nationwide poll that could help shape political policy in 2020. This is your chance to be heard by the decision makers all the way up the chain. Their question: should the federal government provide free health care to illegal immigrants? Yes or no? Visit TrumpsPulseOnAmerica.com to let your voice be heard before the decisions are made for you. Medical services are guaranteed by the Emergency Treatment and Active Labor Act and require hospitals to provide care regardless of citizenship, legal status, or ability to pay. The Federation for American Immigration Reform reported that medical expenditures for illegal immigrants was over $17 billion in 2017 alone. The decision is up for debate, and the policymakers want to hear what the public thinks. Should the federal government provide free health care to illegal immigrants? Yes or no? Go to TrumpsPulseOnAmerica.com now to vote. That's TrumpsPulseOnAmerica.com. TrumpsPulseOnAmerica.com. Be heard.
Jay Sekulow Live is next on AM 970, The Answer. What you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
They have to love our country. They're Congress people, and I never used any names. And all I'm saying that if they're not happy here, they can leave.
Kevin McCullough, very glad to have you with us. Lots of things that irked people on some level this weekend. I mean, the president telling those four congressional women to go back where they came from, that was broadly interpreted as racist. If you actually read the words for what he said, doesn't even come close to that. But that's never stopped, never Trumpers and dishonest progressives from being, you know, falsely outraged. And the interesting thing about that is that if you think about the logic of what the president tweeted, it makes a lot of sense. These four know-nothings have come to Washington, D.C., disrupted everything in their path, but to no end. The president has come to Washington, D.C., disrupted everything in his path, and accomplished 87 campaign promises from 2016. Now, I don't know if you can see a difference between disrupting stuff for no reason and disrupting things to accomplish 87 specific things, but I hold them as quite differently in terms of their outcome. But beyond that, you've actually got Democrats now actively undermining the rule of law and the safety of law enforcement. So you heard that the ICE raids were started up this weekend, and they were. There were people that were detained in many cities across the country. Nancy Pelosi warning folks this weekend that they should tell the people when they come to the house that unless they have a judge-signed search warrant, that the ICE detention warrant or arrest warrant was not valid and that they were not to be let in. In fact, she, according to Politico, engaged in this whole counter demonstration to help people avoid ICE arresting them. Now, who were they coming for? Not your dreamers, not your people that whose only crimes were just coming to the United States. No, the people that ICE is trying to return to where they came from are people that have been committed of crimes in the United States and found guilty. They have been found guilty of those crimes, and they have had their deportation papers served them, and they are still here. Nancy Pelosi wants violent criminal aliens to stay in the United States. And evidently everyone running for the presidency from her party wants to give all of them health care. Friends, who's really the less American, the president or his opponents? I'm Kevin McCullough.